The man who will be covering it for the Chronicle Telegram and writing just great stuff that you'll see at brownzone.com joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
What is going on, guys?
Are you on the course? That's my question.
We're taking
driving
a break
through the course.
You're driving to the course right now?
Yes.
That's outstanding. Yes. We're taking a break from being frustrated with the Guardians to be frustrated with the Browns.
That makes sense.
That's what we thought.
Neither team can score, so it's pretty good.
Whoa! Right.
It's true. What about you think I'm making something up?
No.
How many times have the Guardians been shut out this year? More than 10? How many times did the Browns have over 16 points? Not many. They are average. Thank you. Your question, please.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So there you go. As this team rolls toward the start of training camp, you keep reading things from national folks that don't really include our team when they talk about the AFC North. Is this team a contender in the AFC North, Scott, or is it on the outside looking in?
Yeah, I think it's the outside looking in. I mean, Baltimore's coming off a really good season as, you know, MVP type of quarterback. Cincinnati, as far as we know, has a healthy Joe Burrow. Bunch of weapons on offense. You know, I have some issues about their defense or questions about their defense, but you got Joe Burrow. They have a Super Bowl pedigree. Pittsburgh, I don't know what's going to go on with Pittsburgh. I think Aaron Rodgers gives them a chance to compete for the division. I think it could turn out to be a disaster. He gets hurt, whatever, that they wind up going down the drain. But I wouldn't say that right now. I think at least he gives them a chance to compete. And then you got the Browns. I just think the Browns are on the outside looking in. It doesn't mean they can't surprise, but I think they're a distant fourth. I just think you have to be fair about that, and I think they're a distant fourth.
Let's talk about that Pittsburgh disaster thing, because that kind of sounds fun. That sounds better than right. Talking about the Browns. Or like, I wonder, does this take Tomlin down if it doesn't work?
Yeah, that's interesting. I was talking to somebody this weekend, and it seems like this is a make-or-break year. That feels too strong, maybe, but I think it's a defining year for the Steelers. And if things don't work out, could I see Mike Tomlin go somewhere else? Yeah, maybe by his own accord. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, I've had my run here. You know, everybody in the league thinks I'm a top three coach. Let me try it somewhere else. Maybe with a team that can find a quarterback. So I think this is huge. You know, I expect a TJ Watt deal to get done. If it doesn't, then maybe it blows up sooner than I think in Pittsburgh. But I like DK Metcalf going there. I like the running back they got in the draft. And again, I've always thought Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable, right? And I'm not by myself on that. He's a Hall of Famer, multiple MVP, all those things. 2 years ago, I thought he had the chance to turn around the Jets. And then we saw what happened with the Achilles, and it all went sideways. You know, he's 2 years older. He's coming off the Achilles. I don't know if he still has that ability in him, but I'm not ready to rule him out. But if he gets hurt again, or they just can't score, I mean, they don't have an alternative to Aaron Rodgers. He's got to be really good, I think, for them to hang around Baltimore and Cincinnati. And there's still questions about their offensive line. You know, I know they made that trade for Jalen Ramsey. I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I think Ramsey's been on the decline for a while, so I don't know if he transforms that secondary. Hmm. So there's questions there.
But with Aaron Rodgers, and you got to figure they're going to have a good running game. You know, they drafted a kid from Iowa, and they have Jalen Warren back. Mm-hmm. You got to figure they're going to run the football. And I'm looking for slippage, you know, from them or from from Cincinnati or from Baltimore. I don't necessarily see it, Scott. That makes it aggravating and challenging, I think, for Browns fans right now.
No, I agree. Now, if you're looking for, okay, best-case scenarios for the Browns, you know, we talked about Aaron Rodgers isn't the same guy, doesn't fit,
right,
and they self-combust. Cincinnati, you know, I don't know how they're going to resolve the Trey Hendrickson situation, and they already have issues on the defensive side of the ball. So, well, can they lose a bunch of games, 38-35? Yeah, you could see that. I mean, they did that last year. So, you know, and I think Joe Burrow would become frustrated, and Jamar Chase, like, there's a lot of guys there that expect that team to win, and I think there's some grumblings within the organization when we see the holdout with the rookie draft pick, right? So, I think Joe Burrow will make, who usually makes everything all right or most things all right, and I think that happens again, but I don't think it's a guarantee. And if you can't trust your defense, it makes things difficult. And if you're asking him to score 40 a game, it makes things difficult. So I see potential for issues with those teams. I don't really see the same thing in Baltimore unless Lamar got hurt. I just think Baltimore's too good. He's too good. John Harbaugh's too good for them to have any kind of fall off, because I thought they might have one last year, and they didn't.
Scott, just because we haven't talked to you in a week, does it feel like I'm wondering if the Browns make decisions based on the dome? You know what I'm saying? Moving forward, where it's like, okay, well, we're going to push towards the dome on this. And the quarterback situation is one of those things that makes me think that, right? So we want to make sure that when we move out of here in 28, we have our quarterback for the future, and they've been in place in the old stadium is the way it's going to. Does this make sense, this conversation?
I think that reasoning makes sense. I don't think that's the correct way to operate your football team.
No, I don't think so either. But can't you see that like in the back? Well, they're thinking towards the dome. They're just thinking ahead. That could be an excuse, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard plenty of people bring that up. Just talking to me. It's all about 2029. I don't think it'll play out like that. But I'm sure somewhere in the organization is pointing to it's probably less pointing to be a contender in 2029, right? It's okay. You got a long run up here. We know the roster's in a transition. We know they're in salary cap hell this year, and maybe they'll be in it again next year, depending on how they handle, Deshaun Watson's huge salary cap number. But if you dig yourself out of that or climb out of that, and then, okay, you can start building for 29. Now, 29's a long way away. And, Myles Garrett could be done by then. Denzel Ward, there could be nobody on the roster that's on the roster right now that is playing on the team in 29.
Or coaching staff. Right.
Certainly.
Or front office. Right,
most
or
front office. True. Yeah.
I mean, you got the Haslams.
It's really true.
So you really can't plan like that. And I don't think you can think like that in the NFL. But I'm sure that they want to be a good team when they open that dome in 29.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle Telegram. He covers the Browns, brownszone.com, where you can read all of his work. Who are you most intrigued about seeing on the field for this team this year? I'd say I have two guys, but who are you most intrigued about?
Yeah, I think I got, and for a couple different reasons. I'm going to go DeJuan Jones because I think he's a huge key to any success that they will have offensively. The ability to protect whoever's playing quarterback starts with your left tackle. They need a long-term answer at left tackle, and they hope that he can be the guy. And he has the physical ability, not just the size, but he has the feet to be that guy. So I want to see if he can. And if he does, with a veteran line around him or next to him, then, okay, I think they'll be able to run the ball. I think they'll be able to protect. And you go, okay, he's the guy for the next whatever many years at left tackle. And then Quinshon Judkins, I want to see the instant impact that he has. I expect him to be the week one starter. I think he's really good. I think they're going to run the ball a bunch, and that means he's going to get a bunch of carries and a chance to elevate this offense. So, Jones has been there for a couple of years. We haven't seen Judkins on the field except for, a couple of offseason practices. Those are two guys that really jump to my mind.
Judkins is one of the two guys that I really want to see. I'm really intrigued at his abilities, and I know what Nick Chubb did in this offense, the offense that Kevin's going to roll out this year. And I wonder if Judkins can be a similar player. I'm not going to say as good as Nick Chubb, but if he can be a similar player, I think they'll have found something there, Scott. And there's no reason to think that he can't be productive in this. I think he could be really good.
I do too. And I think the system is great for him. I think the expected commitment to the run game is great for him. Going back to some of the wide zone should fit, the linemen. I mean, we know they all complained about it last year, not pulling like they used to and not running that I think it could energize Joe Bitonio and Wyatt Teller and Ethan Posick again and even Jack Conklin. So I think a lot comes into play that gives Judkins a chance to be really successful early, not to mention just his talent and his physical ability. You know, I think he's built for the position. We saw what he did at Mississippi and Ohio State. So, yeah, I think he's going to be a key piece of this offense, no doubt.
When we look at battles, I'm just kind of thinking ahead, and I don't know, I don't really want to push you 2 weeks ahead into your mind, but I'm going to. When we start thinking about battles for this, obviously it's like anything after, I guess, three and beyond when it comes to wide receivers, but also on the defensive side of the ball. Are there any battles, again, excluding quarterback, because we all know that's what we're going to be watching 24/7, but is there anything else you're keeping your eye on as far as, hey, this could be really interesting in camp?
Yeah, I was making some notes last week about this, and I think D-line is interesting. Right, you have Myles Garrett locked in on that one side.
It's the other side.
Who's the, yeah. Right? Who's your number two? Who's your number three? They don't, you know, they cut Oboro Garanco last week or 2 weeks
Were
ago.
Were you surprised by that?
So, you know what? I was surprised by the timing, not by the decision, because, you know, they signed Joey Tryon-Choyinka. They signed Okwara. They had some bodies there. I think they like Isaiah McGuire. Alex Wright's healthy again. So they have volume, but I thought it might happen, you know, in March as opposed to now. So, but I think it's going to be interesting to see if Tryon-Choyinka or Alex Wright claims that number two spot. You need somebody besides Myles Garrett, obviously, to get to the quarterback off the edge. So I think that's interesting. It's going to be – it's safety. There's, I think they want Ronnie Hickman to win that the free safety job next to Grant Delpit. But they brought in a couple of veterans in case Hickman's not healthy or not able to do it. So how does that play out? And then, you know, you mentioned receiver. Just how does that, you know, how does that shake out? Does Deontay Johnson play like he used to? Does Cedric Tillman stay healthy? If not, what do they do? And even if they are, then who's your number four? You know, is it Jamari Thrash? Some guy that, you know, most fans haven't heard of? Find a spot on the roster. And I think that's completely possible.
I asked as we went to break, who on this team are you really interested in seeing training camp, preseason, getting going? And that the one name that jumped to my mind right away was Quinshon Judkins. I'm really anxious to see the running back of Ohio State in this offense, an offense that should resemble what we saw the offense a couple of years ago with Kevin Stefanski and with Nick Chubb as the main running back.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he's really interesting and intriguing. I can't wait to see him, Andy, but I have another name. Petrak threw out DeJuan Jones as well. Absolutely. If DeJuan can be what we all think he can be, look out. He could be a really good left tackle for a long time here.
Yeah, I mean, you know where I'm going with this thing.
No,
this
I don't.
Simple.
Tell me.
You don't want to guess?
Me, Andy.
Oh, it's easy.
I mean, tight end?
Yeah, of course. Harold Fannin Jr. I want to see what he can do. You know, you bring in a rookie from Bowling
tight
Green.
End. There you
Those
go.
Guys get a lot of reps, you know, in the Mid-American Conference, maybe more than you normally would see if you were playing tight end at a bigger school. So I'm looking forward to seeing that and what they do. Can they go into a two tight end set with Fannin and Njoku? And what does that mean for whoever the quarterback is? If you have a younger quarterback, are you better off with two tight ends? And then the other part of that, too, and I'm not trying to jump ahead, but between Fannin and, you know, will they use Troy Harrison as a fullback? Will they use a fullback this year, I think, is another thing that
I
look
at. Are you kidding me? You're 100%. Going tight end and fullback? You're
yes.
Going full Baskin on me.
Yeah, I'm going 100%. You
He's
know that's what
Baskin.
I'm going to watch, right?
Full Baskin.
Why wouldn't I watch that? I think that Kevin Stefanski's offense is run better when he uses multiple tight ends. And we saw early in his career here that when he used the fullback, that gave him another dimension or another look that we just didn't see.
You want to go
I'm
ahead
not
and-
saying that the fullback's going to carry the ball a ton, but I do think that if you have young quarterbacks in the system, you can tighten things up a little bit and make things percentage-wise a little bit more likable to the palate when you're using two tight ends and a fullback.
Go ahead and finish off the Baskin trifecta for me, will you?
Long snapper?
Yes!
I'm still interested in the long. I want Rex Unahara to win it because he's from here. But Brent, what is it, Matisek is the other guy they brought in, so.
I don't know, Andy.
Well, if you want me to talk to people, I'm telling you what I'm looking
Dano.
At.
Dano, why did we ask? Tight end, fullback, long snapper.
He's on brand. That's what you need.
I don't change. I will always watch tight ends.
Knows what he is.
I just think tight ends are the most versatile player on the field. Other than, you know, I take that back. Running backs who can catch the ball, I have more an affliction for them. I don't know if that's the right word, but affliction for running backs that can actually catch the ball out of the backfield. I love dual threat running backs.
Might be Dylan Sampson. We'll see. Might be Judkins.
Could be. Maybe it's
might
both.
Might be both. Yeah.
But the question is, where are you throwing the fullback in that situation? If he's going to run one, I mean, when's the last time we saw a fullback on the roster that didn't play line?
You know,
wasn't a true lineman or a linebacker?
You know who I'm really curious to see and intrigued in seeing? And I don't
Luke
know.
Luke Whippler. That's what you were going to say.
I don't know. No. I don't know if he's going to be good. Dylan Gabriel. To me, he's getting the fourth most pub out of the quarterback race. I mean, he's kind of in. Do you guys agree? He feels like the forgotten guy in this competition.
There are days I think Pickett's the forgotten guy, but I agree with you. Sanders will not. He's the marketing, you know, hype. Fans will love Joe Flacco for what he did last time he was here. Gabriel is who you probably should be looking at because he was the highest drafted quarterback. You should be looking at him. And Pickett,
but
you should be looking at him because he was the first guy they brought in.
Well, see, that's the thing. To me, the guy that's not getting any hype at all is Dylan Gabriel. And I wonder. I've had people whose opinion I trust say that they like him a lot, that he didn't necessarily look good during, you know, all the camps and stuff, but loved him on tape, loved him coming into this thing, thought he was really good, really polished, and a good-looking quarterback. My gut tells me, not to get too excited because he's 5'11". That's what my gut tells me, and I don't know if that's fair. I really don't. I don't know if that's fair because the guy was really good in college, numerous spots, and runs well, has good feet, throws the ball really well, is accurate, doesn't throw interceptions. My gut tells me everything about him is good except for his physique because he's not real tall. And I'm real curious to see what he looks like on the football field and if he's a possibility here. I feel bad that I can't sit here and say, yeah, that guy could be the guy. I can't get past the fact that he's a really small quarterback.
I understand that, and I can see that. I just don't. I'm willing to wait and see what it looks like on the field. And
are you?
I'm not going to say it because you guys will make fun of me, so I'll just let it go.
Let's keep going. Go ahead.
You totally will make fun of what I'm going to say.
You hope that he, if not, he could be a long snapper?
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Okay.
Look at Pittsburgh and look at their backup quarterback. That's all I'll say. I'll leave it at that because here come the drops and here comes the you
Mason
guys think
Rudolph?
You're funny. And I don't think it's Mason Rudolph anymore.
It's definitely Mason Rudolph.
Okay, you keep thinking that. I don't think that's their future. If they have a quarterback who's their future past this year, we know who it is. So,
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, it's fine. You want to say Aaron Rodgers? I am not getting baited into this conversation. It's just hard for me to look at Dylan McGabriel and think there might have been another quarterback in that same spot that would be just as good, if not better, and I'll be watching both of their careers tightly to see what happens.
Tightly.
Not that I want to say that people... Not that I want anyone to say I'm wrong, but I hope that people are wrong about Will Howard. So.
Will Howard. So in one segment, we've
good. I'm really proud of you, Dan. You didn't go over the top and be a knucklehead about it. Thank you.
How could he have done that, Andy?
Because he's done it 1,000 times. So, don't let me down. Just stay where you're at right now.
Let me get this right. In one segment, Dan, in one segment, Andy hit the tight end,
yeah,
the fullback.
Yep.
The long snapper.
Yep.
And Will Howard.
And a quarterback I think we may have missed on.
Yep. Good night, everybody. There's the week. Been a fine time here on Baskin and Phillips, everybody.
There's only one word that I have for both of you, and you both know what it is. So I'll leave it at that.
Does it rhyme with gas?
Yeah.
I think it's closer to a read between the lines.
I don't want to get fired. I just don't feel like getting fired today.
Dano, one guy in this team.
Because you guys don't, like, you're both brick walls on it. You won't listen. But then again, Jeff, it's not like you've given us a litany of amazing quarterbacks that could have changed the world. Guys that are like third stringers on your fantasy team. Somehow or another, we always seem to fall in love with them.
Josh Andy, Allen
you and I,
guy.
You and I have had this conversation.
Oh, he's going to hang his hat on Josh Allen a million times.
Stinks.
Yeah.
I hope Will Howard succeeds because more good quarterbacks equals more good football. And I'm always
exactly.
Here for more good football.
And I also hope he succeeds.
But there's a part of me that doesn't. He's in Pittsburgh, so like I don't want him to succeed there, but I do want him to succeed.
It's Browns, my Ohio State quarterback problem. It's the same problem I had with Alabama when they were wide receiver you. It's like, okay, so you're throwing to these guys who are just unbelievable wide receiver talents. What does it look like in the NFL when you're not throwing to first-round wide receivers?
And the Browns thought so highly of him, they drafted two guys before him.
And again, I hope he is
I cannot stand when you say that. Everyone thinks it. Jeff, just because they take a team in a quarterback spot where they're at, like, guys get passed over all the time because teams don't need that player at that position. Like, I just think it's mythical that we sit here
and we talk about it. The Steelers needed a quarterback.
They did, and they took one.
So did the Browns.
But the Steelers have a much better draft history than we do, and they, for some reason, can understand the value of a player, knowing where they can pick them, knowing where they fall into their range financially, and getting it right. We don't. We just don't.
Okay.
And hopefully one day I can say we do.
Maybe you're right. I hope Will Howard turns out to have a nice career. Seems like a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
He had one really good year in college, and it was playing for a great team, which kind of backs up what Dan said about.
And he went on the greatest run any college quarterback's ever had.
He flung no one's Kansas ever, State, too.
No one has ever had to go through what he did
okay
to win a
Kansas
championship.
State. He wasn't phenomenal.
Is it cheating if I say that the Brown that I'm most intrigued to see is Mason Graham? Is that cheating?
No, because you know why? You said it before they ever drafted him.
I love the dude.
Yeah, you really were really high on him.
He is a stuff wrecker. We'll call it that.
Yeah.
He takes your game plan and he shreds it.
You know what I like about him? I like the fact that he doesn't look like your prototypical defensive lineman. He looks more like he is ready to go to the WWE and wrestle. And I mean that as not the ripped guy. He looks like just a big dude who knows how to play football. And I think that's awesome.
If he's as good as you say, I'm interested to see how much they move Myles Garrett around on the line, because if Mason Graham is that guy, they're real heavy then on the right side. Mm-hmm. So now you suddenly you're bringing Miles over to the left side, or you're switching, trying to give them different looks. Because I mean, on paper, if you looked at it, you're like, why would we even run at Graham and Garrett? Why would we even try to run a play that way when you got Collins, McGuire, right, or Mike Hall on the other side? Shouldn't be at the same level as those two guys.
Makes total sense. I'm here for it. But if you can get pushed from the middle of that pocket, good luck on everybody else.
Email from Jack. Mm-hmm. Mason Graham said he dominates. He said, I'm saying that as a bona fide Buckeye fan and honk. Dominated against a very good Ohio State line, and Schwartz will turn him loose.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
I am, too.
It's just, here's what sucks. Like, we're sitting here arguing about the quarterback when this team really isn't that bad on paper. When you look around, the Browns.
Have you looked at the offense?
Okay, so if you brought one more wide receiver in there to make you feel bad, do you feel bad about the running back situation? It's just young and inexperienced.
No, I'm curious about the running back situation. Let me throw.
The O-line scares me.
If the offensive line is O-line above average,
healthy. It has to stay healthy.
They could be okay. Okay. I'm not trying to be Johnny Optimist here, but I mean, on paper, they've got names that can start, and maybe if they have a good season or maybe the best season of their careers, this could be a very interesting year. I mean, go back and listen to what Scott said about maybe Pittsburgh falling apart. That'd be awesome.
You want another keep your fingers crossed, crapshoot, easy to bring in wide receiver?
Sure.
He was really good.
Are you telling me now or are you telling me after the break?
No, I'm going to tell you right now.
Because really? You're going to tell me before the break?
I teased it before the last segment.
Oh, make us hang.
Little tease, It's what we say in the biz. Chase Claypool was really good in Pittsburgh.
No.
No, I'm not saying he's the answer to anything. What I'm saying is there's some guys out there who are reasonably intriguing who need jobs, and I'm just surprised they haven't brought in one of them and added them to this group.
How do you know they haven't and just said, okay, thanks for your time?
Because they would have announced they signed him. That's the way it works in the NFL.
But if they didn't sign him, why would you tell anybody he was even in to look at him? Or maybe they went somewhere to go look at him and nobody really knows.
Have you not met Adam Schefter?
Yeah, maybe. I heard he was playing golf over in Pittsburgh 2 weeks last week. He was
Claypool. Claypool had a torn ligament in his toe and messed him up. I hope somebody gives him a look. He was really good in Pittsburgh. He's like Deontay Johnson, but bigger. Was really good in Pittsburgh and hasn't been much since. I wonder if he can do anything. And that's the way I feel. We just had the Independence Day holiday, Andy.
We did.
It's, you know, I go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm blown away that we're halfway to the tricentennial. Well, we are in our lifetime, I guess. So 250 years. It's crazy, isn't it? I feel like the bicentennial was just last week.
It was.
I was.
Did you not see that? It was.
The bicentennial?
What did you do for the big holiday?
We really didn't do a whole lot. We had some friends. We kind of hung out with them. Had a couple graduation parties this weekend. I'm going to get a t-shirt next year, I think, for graduation party tour. Put all the kids' names on there that I go to. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about it.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of pasta, a lot of pizza, my friends.
All right. That worked out well.
Seems to be the food du jour at most graduation parties. Once in a while, you hit a good... I know that we did want when our daughter graduated, we did.
I'm Andy. I serve better food.
I'm done.
Food.
I'm not even going to go there. So Jeff's got to be. We had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, Jeff. Now are you going to make fun of that?
I was at your daughter's graduation party. It was good.
Thank you. Yeah, we did.
Ding.
We did a place where you could put together.
I got a ding bowls. For going to Baskin's event?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Felt right. It felt where upscale. Were
you? Dan, did you
classic.
Go to that or no? Did you
no,
not go?
I didn't know you at the time.
Yes, you did. You were invited. You didn't go. I don't think you went.
You stiffed him.
Was I invited?
Yes, you were 100% invited.
Absolutely.
There's no way I would have not invited you, just so you know that.
Okay, well, then I'm a jerk.
Yeah, you are.
We know that.
That's all right.
We love you anyway.
Well, I apologize.
No big deal.
I went to see Hamilton on Thursday night.
Oh, how was that?
Here at Playhouse Square.
How was that? Did you feel smarter?
It was good. But, you know, Revolutionary War feel, right?
Yeah.
4th of July.
I've seen it on Disney Plus.
I saw it on July 3rd. And then on July 4th,
yeah,
I went to see the Blossom Festival band.
Oh, I thought about
at Blossom
you.
Music Center. Can I complain?
What?
I know. Can I complain?
You're going to complain about the fireworks? I'm sure you're not complaining about the music. Because
the music was outstanding.
Always is.
Except.
Jeff, was it the Cleveland Orchestra?
No.
That did it?
No. Nope. It was the Blossom Festival Band.
Oh, okay.
The musicianship was phenomenal.
Okay.
And the conductor, she was very good.
Oh, you're going to rip the conductor?
No. I'm going to rip.
The setup?
No, I'm going to rip what they played.
What do you mean?
It's the 4th of July. What are you supposed to play a lot of?
White Christmas. Santa Claus is coming to town. What else?
One Sousa March all night long.
That was it, huh?
One Sousa March. Stars and Stripes Forever.
Wow.
Everything else was like kind of patriotically themed, maybe kind of something.
Born in the USA.
And it was kind of.
Even though that really shouldn't
it
be.
It wasn't real peppy.
Isn't that weird how it is, but it
should like
be?
I feel like Tom Hanks from That Thing You Do. I want something peppy. I want something peppy. When they played a peppy song, you know, like they played Stars and Stripes Forever, the place went nuts. When they played a medley of all of the like the Marine Corps theme,
the
Army theme, Navy.
Tribute to the Armed Service, Armed Forces.
Thank you. That's exactly what it was. People were going nuts.
I think I've heard
Why
them
weren't
before,
they going nuts? But they were instead they were playing some really, and they were really good, but just some, you know, really kind of drab stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. I feel bad for you.
Well,
the hard part is I kind of have neck problems after watching Fireworks of Blossom.
Well, there was a different conductor last year as well. We go every year. And
I don't know that I've ever talked to a critic of conductors before.
It wasn't
does the conductor. Does the conductor pick the music? Is that how it
goes? Yeah, I do believe that's the way it goes.
Is there like a general manager that tells through analytics,
I don't know,
the conductor of an orchestra what
this
should be played
what
at what
will
time?
Will work. But I'm serious. It's independent.
Do we know what the war was on this conductor, Dan?
The other guy, his name was Lauren Swissel.
Oh.
And he always would say, it's not July 4th. That's a date. It's Independence Day.
And is he related to Doris Burke?
So all of my the entire time, anytime somebody said 4th of July, you know, from the stage, I would look to my wife and just say, it's Independence Day. Anyhow, they didn't play a whole lot of peppy stuff.
Well, and I can't believe that you, sir, are you on a scale of 1 to 10, you're giving this a
6.
Have you been there before for 10s?
Absolutely. Okay. The musicians are phenomenal. But I just thought you should put together, you know, put better program. It's Independence Day. Put together some patriotic stuff.
I can't believe this. I don't think, I never would have guessed in a million years
that
you would be crushing, the
I'm mad
Blossom
at the
Pops.
Program.
Is that what they're called? The Blossom Pops?
The Blossom Festival Band.
Okay.
They were outstanding, but the program was a little drab. Which
so
it shouldn't
be
on a celebration of our nation's birth.
And do you have a breakdown of like the third chair viola player? Can you break that down for us
Listen,
a little bit?
Loser.
Do you have stats on that, Dan? Can we break that down?
So now, can I complain
can
about
we
something?
Trade,
can't,
like,
I can't make any joke that won't get me fired.
I thought about you.
Okay.
We go with our same couple all the time to this thing.
Yeah. Okay?
And when our kids were little, we all went. And anyhow, the kids are all out and about.
Yeah.
So it was just the four of us. And I thought of you.
Okay. This is scary.
Because my buddy showed up. And he and his wife pulled into the driveway, and he said, "Hey, I brought you something."
Hmm.
He handed me, he said, "I cleaned out some of my stash," and he handed me a bag
peppermint patties
of fireworks.
Oh!
And I thought of you and Jason Pierre-Paul. And I guess I did. As soon as he handed it to me, I thought, and he said, "You can do anything you want with them, whatever you want." And I said, "I'll be honest, I'm not a fan." And it was nice. I said, "It's really nice of you. Thanks. I'm not a fan," because you were talking about it the other day. Everybody be careful. No.
I said, "Please come back with all your fingers on Monday." Right.
And, and I made you the Jason Pierre-Paul sign.
Yeah.
And I thought of that. So then the other day, my wife's nephew comes over with his family and they're hanging out. And my wife, I'm in the house, hands him these because she knew he'd take them. All of a sudden I hear boom in our backyard. Boom. And I'm like, "Be careful. Don't."
And luckily,
he took them. My friend said, "Hey, give them to somebody who might enjoy them if you don't want them." So there you go.
Which
was very nice of my friend to think of me, but I can't. I think fireworks are slightly overrated. A great fireworks show phenomenal. The backyard stuff scares it shouldn't, but it scares the you know what out of me because you hear about it every year.
I don't get it. Like, I just don't understand.
If they're up in the sky and pretty, but if there's just like something exploding, what?
I don't know. I just don't.
It went boom.
Would you drop like $1,000 on fireworks?
Oh, people do it all the time.
I just don't understand. Like, there's no way you can spend $1,000 on fireworks and have a show that's better than a municipality. Is that possible?
I agree.
There's no way. Like, no one does
fireworks.
And it's
done by professionals.
As bad as we're down on the Guardians and it's a Guardians Therapy Monday. Nobody does fireworks better than they do. No, my entire life, no one has ever done fireworks better than the baseball team in this town, whether it's the Guardians or Indians. I can't ever remember. You know, I've been to some other shows. Like Red, White, and Boom in Columbus is pretty spectacular. You know, Edgewater, they do a nice job there too, but it's just not the same.
Blossom does a nice show.
Yeah, Blossom does a nice show.
I was sitting
on
the lawn about dead center away from the
band. It's just hard to see them because they got to blow them off in the extreme corner.
And there are two little trees over there that aren't little anymore.
Yeah.
And they block a ton of your visibility for seeing the fireworks. Those trees need to come down. And I love trees.
Do you think we hit the point where fireworks go away and drones just completely take over? It's the loud boom that stops the drones from taking over. I'm telling you, the drone show is phenomenal.
Drone show is unreal.
They can do anything with the drone show. You know, we're cheering for fireworks.
Plus, not to be that guy, it's better for everybody who has dogs and pets and all that kind of stuff.
Our dogs were freaking out again. Yeah.
I feel so bad for all the dogs during this time of year.
Yeah.
Cats, too, by the way.
And the cats.
Cats freak out, too?
Absolutely.
I didn't know. I'm not close enough to any cats.
Sprint down to our basement.
Did you see that? There was a video floating around of they had a dragon. It was a drone show that was floating around the sky. It was unbelievable. I mean, I'm with you. Bring the drones. Do the drone shows. I'm good with fireworks. Until you can come up with some kind of new firework I have not seen before, I'm good.
Oh, they're still pretty, though. They're nice. I'm with you, though, Andy.
I don't mind a professional
fireworks show, a municipality, the Guardians,
yeah,
you know, other minor league teams that do fireworks, that's great. But man, the stuff in the backyard just scares you.
I had a buddy of mine two or three years ago. He had a fantastic party, and he was lighting off the fireworks, and he had like this PVC casing things where he was lighting them off.
Yeah.
And he put his head over one at one point, and it went right off his forehead. And I was like, oh, my God, are you okay? Luckily, the alcohol was there to calm him down, so he didn't feel any pain at that point.
Oh, so you had a drunk guy setting off fireworks. Nice job.
I think he was down
this PVC pipe and said, ooh.
I think he was comfortably numb. How's that sound? Better?
Better than lighting him off a cigarette.
I don't know. I don't know that I ever have, and maybe that was because my dad scared me or something, but I just like never had that like, oh my God, I got to blow off these fireworks.
I don't understand.
I got to go do this, man. It is my destiny to light this thing on fire. Watch it. Look at me. I do firework. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
And if they don't make pretty stuff in the sky and they just go boom,
I don't have anything against anybody that does them. I love my neighbors, but they were doing it the other day too.
We have a neighbor that puts on a huge fireworks show.
There's somebody in the neighborhood next to us that we just go sit outside.
It goes like 20 minutes straight.
Yeah,
I mean it's long.
Yeah, I'm surprised the guy that did them before doesn't rent out a radio station so he can sync everyone's radio to his own fireworks.
You think?
Oh,
is that a good idea?
Probably not.